Good afternoon, everybody. If you agree, we'll make a start. Welcome, everybody. I'm told that we only have apologies from three members today. When I find my piece of paper, I'll tell you who they are. Emily Lee, Shuki Leung, and Alan Lowe. Apologies from those three people. And then we have, as usual, often the case, some substitutes. Emily Mo is attending on behalf of Wilson Pang, and Alpha Wong is attending on behalf of Mr. Van Loon. So welcome to both of you. Good to see you. Thank you. As we have a special topic for discussion today, we'll leave minutes of previous meetings and matters arising for the next occasion. And what we obviously want to focus on and what you've received notice about is the proposal that was announced in the Chief Executive's policy address relating to the harbour and the harbourfront. Eric Maher in a minute is going to provide the context to that announcement and to the decision that the government regards the harbourfront authority as premature. But I think before we come to that, I think I personally would like to make some comments and some observations. first, for the record, personally, I don't agree that the HFA is premature. I know that's a personal view, and there may be other views around the room, and clearly government have come to that view, but I don't believe it is. The PE exercise that we went through and that Vincent helped her well on and engage with the community, clearly established that the current delivery model doesn't work and that there is strong support for an external agency, authority, call it what you will, with executive powers to take charge of the harbourfront, take charge of harbourfront enhancement. To me, message was loud and clear, and that's on the basis we prepared our recommendation to the chief executive. And if you recall, we submitted our report and recommendation literally a year ago now. There's been no dialogue and discussion with the Commission, and we're told that the proposal is premature, and we're told via the policy address. In my view, that's not acceptable. It's verging on showing disrespect, I think, to this Commission. There has to be an element of trust between this Commission and government, and I believe government should have shared with us before the policy address what they intended to announce and what they intended to do. I think it's particularly disrespectful to all those people who work so hard on the Harbourfront Authority initiative and to learn, as I say, through an announcement in a policy address, I don't think is acceptable. I mean, I'd almost go as far as to say it smacks of lack of political will. I've just had a discussion with Eric about this. I mean, there are plenty of initiatives that government's been willing to take on and front and take the initiative, if you like. And why they're not prepared to take the proposal for the Harbourfront Authority forward, I think we deserve an explanation. And hopefully Eric will help us understand why they don't feel able to take it forward. Moving forward, I mean, we all have to look forward rather than back. Obviously, if you look at the proposal in the paper, in isolation, it can be viewed as positive. It's another stepping stone along the way. We all care about the waterfront. We all want to enhance the waterfront. $500 million is not a great deal of money, but at least it's funds that we can use to enhance the waterfront. It is a very small sum, if you think about it, when you compare the sums that are being allocated to other projects here in Hong Kong. And when you consider government's overall agenda. So again, maybe some discussion around funding when we come to that topic. The other thing that concerns me about the proposal is we're still dealing with things in what I describe as a piecemeal manner. The jigsaw approach, as I describe it, and we've discussed around this table, around this room, on many occasions, the need for an overall approach, that we can't look at things in isolation. We have to look at context, and we need to look at things in terms of the master plan, the master vision for the harbour. And then finally, and this is for you and your successors, you'll see the requirement for a very increased commitment on the part of the Commission. I have no problem, and I imagine a number around the table will not have a problem with that. But it's verging on a quasi-consultancy, pro bono consultancy. The government is asking for a lot more commitment. They're wanting HC to become the project proponent, which, again, is positive, but with that comes responsibility. And obviously, it means we will then have to take initiative and drive things forward. So I think we need to be aware of what's being asked of us. I have no problem with it, but it is a much increased commitment going forward. So those are, if you like, some initial thoughts. As I say, I just wanted to register, A, my disappointment, and then, B, my disappointment for you members who've done so much to try and bring about the authority. But on that note, Eric, would you like just to help us understand the decision? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. And thank you for the hard work of the members in the past years for the enhancement of Harbour Fund. I understand the feeling of the Chairman yourself and also the members working on this Harbour Fund Authority initiative. However, I would like to take this opportunity to reiterate that Harbour Fund enhancement and the development is a core vision shared by both the government and the Harbour Fund Commission. I would like to thank all the members for the efforts and achievement in the past years. I hope you will also think likewise that the government has been a reliable and steadfast partners all the way along. The chief executive has announced in his policy address new initiative on harbourfront development and enhancement. My team and I would like to brief members on the details of this proposed initiative at this meeting. As we learned, having first things about the background on the initiative, as we learned from the two-stage of public engagement exercise, we note there are general consensus of the community for the need of a mindset in taking forward the harbourfront enhancement. I think that's the point we want to highlight. However, at the same time, there was admittedly a divergency on view on the process and the place of the transition from the current model of a harbour commission to a harbourfront authority, and also on the statutory function, composition, authority and finance of the proposed HFA. So taking into account the many views gathered, including the reaction from the community, we consider it is premature to establish HFA as an independent statutory body with its own finance and executive power at this stage. However, we note there are limitations in the current model for the harbourfront development and management, and share the vision of the HC in trying to break away from the existing restriction. The government has decided to first take the work related to the harbourfront development and enhancement to the next level before further deliberation on the proposal of establishing a statutory HFA. So the new initiative announced in the PA seeks to enhance the role and also the involvement of HC on the implementation of harbourfront project. The government intend to partner with HC for a dedicated team and with dedicated funding to implement harbourfront enhancement initiative, with the shared goal of enhancing harbourfront developments and enhancement. I would like to appeal to you to gathering your support on the new initiative. I'm sure that we will continue to work to make our harbour an attractive, vibrant, and accessible and sustainable world-class asset. So may I invite Christine to introduce to you about the details of initiative.
Please. Thank you, Secretary. I'm here today to present to you on behalf of the Harbour Unit of the Development Bureau, paper number 1, 2017, on new initiatives on harbourfront development and enhancement. Let me take this out. Now, I had the opportunity to work with members on the second stage of the public engagement exercise, and we actually went out to a lot of places, and I shared the enthusiasm of members and thanked all of you again to partner with us on that exercise. I think the conclusion or the results that we got from the public engagement exercise were already summarized in a presentation we did in September 2015, so I'm not going to repeat it here. But I think it would be fair to say that it was concluded that there was a general support to change, to make some changes, because the existing existing way of doing things may not be able to satisfy the community aspiration to take forward Harbourfront enhancement. But there were indeed differences in opinions in terms of the pace and or the process of the transition from here to that, from here to the authority, and also on different functions, say the advisory functions, the statutory functions, and how the HFA is to be composed. So all these, we actually gathered all these opinions in that exercise. And that's the background upon which the policy address made its sort of promulgation in its paragraph 127, which the Secretary has briefly talked about. So I'm here today really to deliberate with members how we can make use of the new initiatives to take forward Harbourfront enhancement to the next step ahead. So under the new model, we think that we need to enhance the role and involvement of the Harbourfront Commission on the implementation of Harbourfront projects. Specifically, what we're looking for is to look upon HC for guidance and inputs to the entire stage of development, including the formulation, the study, prioritization, and implementation of all these Harbourfront enhancement projects to be put forward. So, in other words, as the Chairman briefly mentioned, we envision the Commission to become a project proponent in a lot of circumstances, so that the Commission could go out and to advocate and explain to the public its prioritization, its decision, and also its rationale and implementation of individual projects, as well as the management and operation of these sites. So we would actually envision that in the future, HC may actually set up more working groups under itself, so that each working group could oversee and monitor the implementation management of individual projects. So the involvement would be heavy, and the time required and the commitment required, as the Chair mentioned, would be significant. But then we believe that by doing so, HC itself could be able to explain to the public and also build up its experience and also its credentials on Harbourfront development in the long run, so as to in the future, when we go out again to ask people, then the HC itself would have this aggregation of experiences and successful projects to explain to the public how it has managed the harbour very, very well. And in order to support this future Harbourfront Commission with an enhanced role, we also think that it would be fair for this HC to be supported by a strengthened Harbour Office within the Development Bureau. So that's the second component of our proposed initiative, and that is to extend the existing Harbour Unit to become a multidisciplinary team Harbour Office. It's a bit like the EKEO, in that sense that they have multidisciplinary staff and expertise, and then when necessary, this office can also engage private sector expertise for help or study purposes. And a very important third important component of this initiative is the setting up of a dedicated funding. This actually echoes with what was proposed under the HFA proposal, because it was recognized that if Harbourfront enhancement projects need to compete with all other government projects for internal resource allocation, the flexibility or the timing factor may be longer for implementation. So this component of the proposal actually takes on board that particular proposal and to set up a dedicated funding, meaning that in the future, HC or Stroke Harbour Office will not need to compete for these resources and can go ahead with some readily doable public work projects earlier. So, other from talking about a framework, this policy address also outlines some concrete injection to demonstrate the government's commitment. First of all, there is an initial injection of $500 million into the dedicated funding that we mentioned. This is an initial injection, meaning that it would serve a certain purpose for a certain period of time, but afterwards we can definitely review it and then to ask for other funding in the future. And then to prepare for the setting up of the future Harbour Office, we are also prepared to recruit an extra architect into my unit so that we can make preparations and all the necessary works to pave way for the future HO when time is ready. Now, at Annex A to the paper, members would see all these projects that I'm going to talk about. So these six initiatives are what the Harbour Unit thinks would be good to spend the $500 million that are crowdfunding. These projects do not come out from a vacuum. Rather, they are actually projects that the Commission or its task forces have spent some time discussing, and also they are in prominent Harbour Fund positions, meaning that improving them would help demonstrate or illustrate the difference that these funding could use for. But we have an open mind as to how to use these $500 million. So today, if there is any views as to you think there are other projects which are actually, you know, make better sense, then I think the Commission as a whole, as I mentioned, because it has an important role in prioritization, you can also let the Commission know so that as a whole, we can actually decide on how best to make use of these dedicated fund. But I'm going to just explain these six initiatives that the Harbour Unit suggests to make use of. First of all, is the urban park in front of a Hong Kong Ferry Pier. Members actually recall that this is one of the land proposed to be vested in the HFA proposal. And this particular area is about 2 hectares in size. Currently, it's used for bus terminus and some cross-boundary bus terminus as well. But under the Hong Kong District Study, it is recommended to become an open space, an urban park, so to speak. So this would likely definitely be in the capital works projects. And the second one, it's an open space at Eastern Street North in Sai Ying Pun. Right now, the site area is about 1 hectare in size, and right now it's used for a temporary car park and some vacant government land. But in the long run, it's planned to be an open space provision as well. So this could actually help connect the promenade from the Western wholesale market on the west to the Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park to the east, meaning that this will be a critical path that helps people to sort of connect the entire central promenade on the western portion. And the third project we propose to be using the $500 million would be to build an advanced promenade from the central and western district promenade, central section to the convention and exhibition center. This part is about 500 meters long. It's quite narrow at certain parts. The size area is about 0.5 hectare. But indeed, it straddles across two future sites in the new central harbour front, site 6 and site 7, meaning that it has both public open space and also some commercial activities with marine related use in the UDS that was suggested. So we also would like to make use of the funding to immediately sort of put forward this promenade to connect the open space at Tamil Park, outside Tamil Park and the Pet Garden now, so that people can actually, you know, walk 500 meters longer towards the convention center to the east. And the fourth project, it's also arising from a site visit that the Commission did to Chun Wan. We realised that there is this part of the waterfront promenade now that is a passageway, a walkway. And we would like to... The hatched area is about 2.9 hectare. And we think that if we can upgrade this passageway into a proper open space, there would be more public benefit, especially for the residents and also other visitors alike. Now, apart from works projects, we have also put in this plan two studies that we think that would be useful for the entire operation of the future Harbour Fund Commission. The first one is a consultancy study to formulate and design a new model to mainly to manage and maintain these future integrated Harbour Fund developments. Now, how this came about is really our long-standing sort of belief that maybe the pleasure grounds regulations may not be applicable to all these harbourfront management. I mean, I remember members talking about harbourfront promenade may not necessarily be just like parks in terms of management. And also there is also a separate request from members saying that it would be beneficial if the Commission can build up a database of overseas or even local management approaches to harbourfront promenade so that we can learn from the best and also to see how we can perfect our system. So this study aims to to do this overall territorial-wide study to come up with suggestions on how we can better manage harbourfront promenades. And the second one is on streetscape and signage improvement. I think this idea actually is not new. It actually it was raised in different separate district studies in the past decade or so. And so we think that if we can do a study to see how we can sort of generalize or better uniform to provide a better or clearer signage system so that people can be pointed towards the harbourfront easier, the patronage could be improved, increased, and also make it more vibrant in that sense. Now, I think it's very important to bring to members' attention another paragraph or another section in the policy address that is relevant to what we are talking today about here today. In paragraph 219 of the policy address, the government actually also announced its decision to spend a total of $20 billion in the coming 5 years to develop new or improve existing sports and recreation facilities. Now, we actually had that list checked it and then found out that among them there are some projects which involve open space in there. And after checking whether they belong to the harbourfront areas, we found out that in the five-year plan, 12 of these projects would fall within the harbourfront areas, meaning that if these projects all got implemented, it would amount to a total of about $3 billion. So I'm going to go through these projects one by one, but I just want to mention that apart from these five-year plan projects, DVB also has been working with the Harbourfront Commission on the Island Eastern Boardwalk and also the enhancement of North Point Piers. So we will also be finding funding to support these projects. So these are the 12 projects that actually to be implemented under the scheme that I just mentioned in the five-year plan that has been earmarked with a $20 billion funding. They are the Kai Tak Avenue Park, the Waterfront Promenade adjacent to the Hong Kong Children's Hospital at Kai Tak, the Kai Tak Station Square, a Hoi San Park extension, open space at Hong Kong Waterfront, which actually added together with our urban park here at this location would be more than actually what is proposed to be, or was proposed to be vested to the HFA in his original proposal. And then the open space at Hoi Fai Road, and also improvement of Chin Wan Riviera Park and Chin Wan Park, Kwai Chung Park, and improvement of Hoi Ban Road Park and adjacent area. Sports Centre and Open Space at Aldridge Bay, and these are the two that we would be looking for funding to support them. These are the ferry pier improvement and also the boardwalk scheme. So we did some calculation and found that if all these projects, including those that are to be implemented under the $500 million initiative, there would be an increase in open space provision in Hong Kong by nearly 50 hectares. And in terms of the length of accessible waterfront promenade, there could be an increase of 3,400 meters. So what we have the paper together with its annexes, the two annexes, are to thresh out the proposed initiatives. The considerations, these are some for members to consider, is because given that there are key objectives that the HFA would like to achieve, we hope that the new initiatives could at least meet with part of these objectives. Especially we have incorporated, the new initiatives have indeed incorporated a lot of these key elements, such as dedicated funding, dedicated office, and also multidisciplinary team that has project implementation capacities. With this study that I just mentioned, it's also hopeful that the HO, the Harbour Office, under the guidance of HC, could work under a new set of management rules to be devised so that it has more flexibility and more people-oriented kind of management approach. And because HO as a government body, we also hope that implement all these projects, there could be less sort of concern over the financial sort of scrutiny, kind of examination, kind of control. So this is the presentation of the paper. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Eric, Christine. Thank you both. Maybe we have a first round of comments, reaction. Maybe if you have questions, by all means ask them. And by all means, Cantonese or English, whichever you prefer, please. Vincent, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Before going to this detail, I think as the Chairman of the Public Engagement for the establishment of the Harbourfront Authority, I need to say a few words echoing the Chairman's personal view on that. I would guarantee to the Chairman this is not just your personal view, but also the view of those who have spent tremendous time and energy on the work in this advocacy work and the public engagement exercise that we really have spent 2 years in this public engagement exercise, as well as several years before that in studying a appropriate management approach to pursue the vision of a world-class harbourfront. And I think it is the recommendation of this commission that the establishment of the harbourfront, a dedicated organization to look after the planning, design, development, management, and operation of the harbourfront in one go is the way forward. I think this is the recommendation of the entire commission. So I agree with Chairman that you do not agree that it is premature. So I echo your disappointment on the statement stated and in the policy address that I really remember in the first policy address of this government, but way back in January 2013, and in paragraph 88, the government is saying that they will go ahead with the establishment of the Harbourfront Authority and to proceed with public engagement, and they would think that this is a big step forward. And in the last policy address of the same government 4 years later, you say that it is premature. I find this entirely unacceptable. So what are we doing in the past 4 years? And I have a big reservation on what has been presented on this PowerPoint, as and on the slide saying that the view received from public engagement. Well, would I have that slide back, Christine? I think having spent time for 2 years in doing the in leading the entire public engagement exercise, with over tens of meetings, and we have been spending 2 years visiting nine district board each year and sitting in the LegCo panels, I would have a reservation on the wording of these two paragraphs. I think this is the entire thing has been diluted. Well, I would see that, well, the view received during engagement is that there is a general support for the establishment of a statutory harbourfront authority rather than support the need of a new mindset. Right? And there are different opinions on the details and particulars of the harbourfront authority in terms of its setup, in terms of the financial engagement. I think they, the concern are actually on whether the Harbourfront Authority will be too big and uncontrolled like the West Kowloon Cultural District, things like that. So I think the wording written here is unfair to what we have been doing and have received during the entire 2 years of public engagement exercise. So, Chairman, I think I must express that well, the decision of the government today, I do not think that this is an issue of public opinion. It's a matter of commitment and a matter of policy continuation. Chairman, I need to register my disappointment on the decision. Well, I'm not objecting to the ways ahead, right? So I need to register my disappointment, and I welcome government proposal on the way ahead, and I'm willing to have further discussion on this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you. KY, please.
Yeah, I will let you speak in Cantonese.
Please.
It's actually strange. Vincent usually chair his meeting, task force meeting in Cantonese. Yet today it's just in English. The other way around. So, 在呢件事上面呢，我諗阿 Vincent 喺佢嘅，譬如喺面書有提過，好多時都會講，佢響即係2004年開始十二三年啦。咁其實主席你亦都係。在海濱事務工作了12、13年 ,Vincent 也是甚至到 Eric 都是 ,right? 那我都是一样。那如果你今次我亦都有参与这个公共参与这个过程，虽然我做的没有 Vincent 那么多，没有主席那么多。那你说不失望呢就假的。那这个我想大家都会觉得失望。那是不是即是公众唔能夠未接受咧，或者未成熟咧，我姑且唔好去討論啊拗呢樣嘢。不過我喺過去幾年咧 ，Vincent 頭先提到就係話啊，第一份現屆政府嘅第一份施政報告就提到就係我哋希望做呢樣嘢啊，成立一個海濱事務管理局。咁但係咧，過去嗰幾年，過去嗰四年咧，老實講咧。與其話海濱事務上面令我失望咧，香港整體嘅環境令我更加失望。咁令我睇到一樣嘢就係、是，姑勿論公眾係接受與唔接受都好，我覺得嗰件事暫時嚟講咧，個現實就係、是、的確係好難可以喺呢個時候推出嚟。呢個我反而認同，認同就係現屆政府仲有5個月多啲嘅時間，佢推出去換屆在職，下一屆政府會點樣我唔知道。下一屆政府會唔會支持我唔知道，咁呢個可能我要等到2個月之後，我哋選咗新一屆特首之後，可能會係比較明朗化。但係現時我哋的確係唔知道。好啦，即使係政府推出嚟啦，成立海濱事務管理局，需要寫相關嘅法例，通過立法會。睇翻上一屆立法會嘅表現俾我哋睇到咧。我亦都唔係咁寄予厚望，俾我越嚟越覺得咧，就係如果邊一屆政府、邊個特首、邊個邊位發展局局長係要做成呢樣嘢嘅話咧，係需要好大嘅決心，同埋仲要鋪排得好，天時地利人和啊，唔好碰啱啦！立法會換屆壓到咁上下，又嗰件事冇咗佢，咁呢樣嘢的確就係喺我就理解到而家。是呢個客觀環境是不存在的。咁喺度我想打個比喻。大家都會話搭飛機，飛機餐好難食的。我同意，飛機餐好難食的。但我自己的習慣呢，我通常我搭飛機呢，飛機餐我是食曬的。咁點解我的哲學是咩呢？我的哲學就是人在旅途。你都唔知道下一步會有咩延誤，你幾時有下一餐食都唔知道。於是乎呢，我永遠都食曬佢。而且仲有就係、是如果是有可能的話咧，反正百無聊賴喺機艙裏邊，我會盡量欣賞。如果嗰次我係搭商務客位嘅話咧，我食完正餐之後咧，所有甜品、芝士同埋水果我都食埋嘅。咁喺呢件事上邊咧，我自己嘅睇法都係一樣，就係、是、呢5億元咧，我諗喺冇其他選擇之下咧，我都要當係一個飛機餐，我會盡量享受嘅。
Thank you very much. Becky, please.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to comment in particularly on the way forward. I believe that in our public engagement documents, Under the setting up of the Harbourfront Authority, there have been different options and modes which has been suggested. One of that would be to establish the Harbourfront Authority and then to have the harbour unit or the harbour office as the executive arm. So in a sense, maybe, you know, what is in front of us, what is this lunchbox on the airplane, it's basically something in that direction. So if we can move towards that, I would more like to comment on the proposed framework that Christine has mentioned. There is one broad point that I'm a little bit alert about, especially on the proposed framework on the first slide, that the Harbourfront Commission is to assume the role of project proponent. So somehow I think this is quite a major burden, especially if we are not, this would require a full-time team of staff. So perhaps I think in a sense, the harbor unit would have, or the office would have to assume this role of the project proponent. And if the Harbourfront Commission is to remain advisory, so it's more like supervising or managing, providing the guideline rather than as the proponent. The second point I want to raise on the specific projects. Under Annex A, as many as I think 5 or 6 projects has been listed, and that's only 500 million. So so it's roughly about 80 million per project. So I don't know whether this is realistic or not. So in relation, I want to ask, for the Harbourfront Office, even though it will be expanded, can we have a rough idea how big will be the team? You know, I believe that in terms of the human resource or civil servant deployed to the unit, it will not be counted towards the 500 million. That would help us a bit. And the final point I want to ask, especially in terms of the question, is the relationship between the Harbourfront Commission and the Harbour Unit on the way forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Paul, please.
Of course, it's a pity that the Harbour Authority cannot be set up. It's a pity that the government hasn't been unable to resolve the issues. This goes back to Michael Toon's time as Secretary for Development and Works, or it was a Development and Housing at that time. He didn't think that setting up a separate authority at that time was the right way forward. And he saw potential loss of conflict between Town Planning Board and a Harbour Authority and so on. We then get another time, we have another Secretary for Development who may potentially be our future Chief Executive, and things loosening up a bit. And then Paul Chen is in charge, who's now Financial Secretary, and certainly nothing gets done. So I hope that the future Chief Executive is going to reconsider who's going to be the Financial Secretary. Let's just, and I agree with Becky. I think we just have to look at what's in front of us now rather than look back. It's been obviously during the time that we discussed the Harbour Authority that there was a significant discrepancy between where government wanted to go and where we wanted to go, and including the ability to generate funds from the harbour fronts and how much money government was going to put in. It appeared obvious at some stage that the Harbour Authority was seen as a way out to be able to spend less on harbourfront enhancement than if it was left with LCSD. So government hoped that if it was going to be to a Harbour Authority that we're going to generate more funds from the harbourfront so that they had to spend less money on fixing up the harbourfront. Which, of course, members on our side didn't think that was necessarily the case, that the harbourfront was not going to be necessarily commercial, but had was going to meet a lot of social objectives, and therefore was not necessarily going to be cheaper than have LCSD do it. And I think that has never, ever been resolved. And possibly one could also now see that this is a blessing in disguise, because as we have seen with the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority, government will find it very difficult to have an authority to be public. The West Kowloon Cultural District Authority has not fulfilled its promise to the community of acting as a public body that was public. We went away from private developers owning West Kowloon Cultural District because we wanted to make sure that the public had a say and a control over what happened at West Kowloon. And now in the last year or so, or especially it's become apparent lately, that the public has lost completely control over or input and insight in what happened at West Kowloon. And maybe that our government is totally unable to create, or what we had hoped for the Harbourfront Authority, that this was going to be a truly public organization where the public views were going to be in charge and not at the whims of government controlling and shutting out the public. So maybe it is a blessing in disguise, and we should just really look at going forward. Going forward, I agree with Becky that the amount of money set aside for first states is questionable, whether that is realistic. I also wonder about the project for first states. So what I'd rather see is that government agrees with us on a strategy for identifying the sites, where we work from a full list of sites around the harbour, with very clearly for each site some of the parameters that are clear, the availability of the site, the timing for the sites, what some of the expectations are for the site, potentially some known budgeting numbers for the cost of fixing up each site, and that we then look at that list and kind of wonder how to prioritize it and then move forward. So the strategy for identifying sites, I think that needs to be a process rather than something that we decide today, and I hope to get feedback from other members, but also from the harbour unit and from the acting secretary on that matter. Then the East Kowloon East office, are they a project proponent? Is land allocated to them by the lands department? Or is land allocated to other departments? So, for example, the waterfront in Kwun Tong, I believe, is allocated to the LCSD and not to the East Kowloon East office. And I look, for example, on the slide here in front of us, the open space at Eastern Street, North Sai Ing Pun. From a very practical point of view, why the heck would that be that piece of land be given to the harbour unit or the harbour project office as a landowner and not to the LCSD? And as we see in East Kowloon East, what happens is that the Energizer Kowloon East office actually motivates LCSD to make changes to their site and may pick up some of the cost to, you know, modify some elements of a park, but in effect the land allocation is to LCSD to do it. And so when we look at the list of sites, whether or not they should go to LCSD or to the harbour unit, I think is something that needs to be discussed, because it may well be in some cases more practical that a site goes to Highways Department as a footpath, or goes to the LCSD because they already have the adjacent site next door and there's not much else that needs to happen, so leave it with them. I think we need to have a criteria for making those decisions, rather than assuming that we're just going to be taking on the sites that are identified here. So I'd like to get feedback on the issue of who's going to be the recipient of the land. Is that the Development Bureau or is, and so on. And then once we own the land, under what ordinance are we managing that land? Is that under the Pleasure Ground Ordinance or under a separate ordinance or outside all ordinances? I think we've got to get some clarity about what government has in mind for taking this forward. So I hope to get some feedback. Let me just also put one more in for Eric. What is now the expectation within government? FSTB and Development Bureau, what are you thinking? What is FSTB thinking with this? That this is going to generate revenue? That the harbour unit is going to do it cheaper than LCSD, that you can save money, that you can get more commercial use out of the land, as you had under when you did drafting the framework for the harbour unit, for the harbour authority? There was this clear expectation that we're going to generate more money out of this harbourfront land. Is that still the expectation, that the harbour unit is going to do the same thing, or are you expecting that the harbour unit will have about the same cost as LCSD would have for the same size of site? And then if so, how much money are we talking about if LCSD would handle those sites that are on list one?
Finished? Okay, thank you. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to speak in Cantonese. 我想除了主席和Vincent之外， 我想所有参与过去两年在那个 Harbourfront Authority 的 Public Engagement 里面的我们这里HC的member， 我想虽然我们一早已经觉得不乐观， 不过都真的很失望。 尤其我同意这个主席讲的那个结果公布，亦都令到我觉得这个HC是似乎不被尊重。我跟回KY的比喻坐飞机，很多年前我都是有一次要去纽约开会， 当年没有香港直飞纽约，要飞去西雅图转机去纽约。去到西雅图撞到大风雪，航空公司告诉我，你可以选择飞丹佛，丹佛再转飞纽约。我说你选择留在这里等，有些人就选择了飞丹佛，我选择了留在西雅图等，等了一日半，停了风雪之后，搏到机去纽约。 我去纽约途中听到，去丹佛那班人，去了丹佛之后又撞到大风雪， 结果他们get stuck in Danford， 之后去不去到纽约我不知道。 所以是不是在飞机上面有飞机餐就要吃完， 今天给出来的要吃完， 我想都要做一个判断。 今天present出来给我们看的这个 PowerPoint， 因为我有很多疑问。 第一， 剛才其他委員都說了，繼續下去HC的角色， 我相信我不是很肯定， HC會assume the role of project proponent。 第二就是這個multi-discipline team 是說多大，多少discipline， 怎樣去deliver 我们要做的事。第三就是现在list出来的六个project， 其实我们看到头那四个就好像我们做了这个叫做CEDD Plus， 即是另外一个CEDD Office 去procure一些open space。 后面两个study就更加奇怪， 怎样去study一个new model to plan, manage and operate， 这些东西只可以在实践之中去累积经验。 Streetscape and signage 对我来讲就真的很奇怪，很多年前主席都记得我都邀请你去做一个裁判，就是选这个 signage， CEDD 说要做一个公众设计比赛， 选一些 signage 去 facilitate 公众去 waterfront。 咁呢個比賽就舉辦咗啦，優勝作品又揀咗啦，主席又去做咗裁判啦，咁搞完曬之後，而家又好似我唔見到有任何嘢啦。而家我又見到有個咁嘅 proposal 出嚟，叫我哋第六個 item 咧就去 study 下啲 signage 嘅 improvement。整體我真係覺得好 confused，唔係好肯定，我哋向前行係點樣行？所以簡短講，我會 建议主席或者建议我们HC 可能做完一个 engagement 的 task force， 可能要 set up 第二个 task force 去研究一下政府今次 table 出来的建议可不可行或者如何可行下去呢。多谢主席。
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Please.
主席，我都是用中文發言，我自己就不是好像其他委員這麼長時間 在這個commission 或者是在那個public engagement 角色都不是那麼重，不過我都很體諒到他們那個失望的情緒，還有我想過程序都很重要的，如果做了這麼多功夫，之前完全的委員都沒有被知會，突然間就先至在 嗰個施政報告度發現係同幾年前講嘅嘢承諾嘅嘢完全唔同咧，我諗的確係需要即係欠一個對我哋呢個 commission 一個交代咯。我自己就純粹想追問翻關於個財政啫。至於即係接唔接受呢、這個而家出嚟呢、這個我哋叫做中間方案咧，就大家委員去再決定啦。我最想追問就關於個財政狀況咧。嗱，而家我見到個 PowerPoint 擺出嚟咧，就係話開頭係有五億嘅注資。我好想知道咧，你哋點樣計到嗰五億嘅咧？即係你用咩基礎計，同埋係咪都有個計算啊、盤算過咧？做幾耐嘅時間，做幾多嘅工程，做幾多嘅設施，可能幾多嘅嘢，係五億係夠噶啦，就唔使翻立法會咧去攞錢嘅咧。我好想知道你點計到嗰五億啫？抑或係即係憑直覺咧咁嚇？這個我第一想知道。第二咧，頭先阿 Christine 咧喺嗰個 presentation 都有講到咧，就係、是、未來五年咧仲有200億係嘛？俾喺嗰啲 open spaces， 而有12個咧就喺我哋嗰、那個harbourfront 嘅 areas， 所以計出嚟咧，我仲有30億到咧，係嘛擺落嚟嘅。咁呢度我又好想知道咧，其實喺咁多擺落去個 open spaces 裏邊咁多錢嘛，呢30億係咪一定係未來五年裏邊咧，係都會計埋落去個嗰、那個未來嗰、那個commission 嗰個運作裏邊嘅咧？嗰、那個擺落去嘅時候係需要一個好 general 嘅 expenses 咧，亦或特別要喺某一啲嘅項目或者合某啲嘅設施先可以用得著咧咁嚇。呢、這個細節上面咧，我諗如果我哋真係想我哋嘅工作做得好咧，我哋都好想知道究竟嗰個財政嘅來源同埋個運用咧，係需要多啲嘅指引俾到我哋咧，我哋先至可以決定到咯。好，唔該主席。
Thank you. Please. Yep. Thank you.
主席，我都用中文發言啦。我亦都唔係話入咗嚟呢個HC 好耐，咁所以之前有同事係做咗好多年嘅諮詢嗰、那個對呢個決定嘅不滿同埋失望咧，我感受到，但係我唔想喺呢度講翻過去嘅嘢啦。但係我必須咧要代表建築師學會咧喺度提出咧，我哋對呢個結果同埋呢個決定咧係感到非常非常失望。最主要的原因咧就係、是、其實我哋希望香港係能夠擺脱一種過分嘅綁手綁腳嘅發展模式，希望可以拆牆鬆綁，成個 Harbourfront Commission 嘅成立咧，我哋嘅理解咧，都係因為香港人已經對呢個海濱發展嘅處理設計同埋呢個management 各方面咧，都覺得嗰個模式係唔得，同埋唔理想，希望有個改變。咁而家咧最新呢個方案咧，就反而將HC 咧變咗做一個 project proponent， 變咗做一個 project proponent 之後咧，就其實我哋本來呢個 HC 希望做到一個 HA 嘅 role 咧，就變咗同呢個 LCSD 咧，就變咗我哋而家係仲要同 LCSD 夾，即係其實我哋 replace 唔到佢，仲調翻轉佢而家要同我哋夾，仲要同我哋即係我哋想 set out 上去拆牆鬆綁嘅嘢咧，我哋自己綁住咗自己。咁呢個我覺得邏輯上係好難理解點解會咁樣樣。尤其是頭先阿 Vincent 都講咗啦，喺四年前施政報告講咗話係希望個大方向都係去改嘅時候，就我哋唔係好理解點解喺最後呢份施政報告會突然間嚟個180度嘅轉變。咁我諗我最主要想講 technically 係我哋對呢一個 project proponent 呢個 role 咧係有啲擔心。頭先阿 Ivan 都講咗啦，有一啲 studies 咧，我覺得係呢、這個我個人睇啦，即係譬如你話 signage 嗰啲咧，其實真係非常之唔係有咁大嘅迫切性。咁所以如果你用呢一個嚟到當係，即係 for the lack of a better word 啦，即係既然而家呢個決定叫做俾返啲嘢嚟到 執住你把口咁咧，咁我就覺得呢個有少少可惜，真係我諗對呢件事咧最大嘅 disappointment 咧係我哋去唔到嗰個拆牆鬆綁嗰個階段，反而調翻轉係唔知仲要咁樣樣綁住幾耐落去。多謝主席。
Thank you. Any other comments? Maggie, do I see your hand? Thank you.
I won't go into the disappointment that I feel, along with other members of the Commission. It's been expressed by several people. I will just say that BEC is particularly disappointed about this. The Harbour Business Forum was actually set up in the hope of helping forward a harbour front authority, and we did a lot of work in putting the original proposals together for the HC to work on and try and take it forward. So there's a lot of time and effort has gone into this from our point of view. A couple of things on the way forward, which obviously if that's what we're faced with, that's the way we have to go. I would like to know, HC, we're supposed to be working in relationship with the new and strengthened HO, which makes sense. But who actually decides what happens? Because we often make recommendations in the HC as we are now, and they disappear into the ether. The other thing is, a lot of us who really know the background and have done a lot of the studies and a lot of the work and know what can and cannot be done on the harbour front now by sheer experience, we have served on here on this commission and on the previous enhancement committee for many years. Will we still be permitted to commit and help and provide our experience and knowledge to the new HC? Because it would be very, very difficult for the HC, I think, in future to pick up the real experience and knowledge that there is around, particularly this group of people here now. But we have all served our 6+ years in several different situations. I don't know how it will work. And, you know, we'll, on the management side, I can understand that if it's possible, it may be in, as Paul says, not perhaps in every situation, but in many situations, it would allow us to develop better if we have our own management organisation, perhaps. But that will very much depend on where the land is vested and who is in actual control of that site. So I think we need a lot, myself, I think we need a lot more information about how this new HC project proponent or otherwise is to be taken forward and exactly what influence it will have on what happens. Because to be perfectly honest, I've spent a lot of time with a lot of other people putting forward what we thought were the best ideas and nobody has picked them up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Did I see a hand? Yes, please. Evans, thank you.
Chairman, members, I have 3 points to make. I think this is a big slap in the face of the Harbourfront Commission and to all members, you know, having this decision in the latest policy address, making Harbourfront Commission and members have low credibility at all. So this is my first point. Second point, 500 million seems like a lot of money for landscape work. But if you involve all the civil engineering works, there's nothing. There's peanuts. So I don't know how this 500 million, you know, member previously raised this question, where this lump sum come from? Okay, that's my second point. Third point is this proposed model of Harbourfront Commission as becoming a project proponent and requiring more input from members. I don't know if members feel like doing that anymore. You know, that's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. We can come back if people have second thoughts. Eric, do you want to go first or Christine? Eric, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. And I think we hear all the comments and grievances from the members and the frustrations. But I think I would like to reiterate about government stance on the harbour fund development and enhancement. I think this is a core value we share with from the both between government and also HCs, and we are committed to improve our harbourfront. And we are not giving up the vision of setting up our authority in the future, but I think most important, we need to wait for the favourable conditions and circumstances arise and evolve. And by the time, then we will once again consider about this proposal and try to push ahead. But for the time being, we understand looking at the circumstances and the still there's a lot of puzzle over the own financial and executive power and also other arrangement. So it may not be favorable for us to consider about this proposal at this time. And we got about the current proposal. I think the current proposal is already a big step ahead. And with a direct funding of 500 million, we don't need to compete each year at the resources allocation for all this projects. We'll get a dedicated funding that will allow us to spend our effort focus on a few significant improvement projects along the waterfront. And together with LCSD, I think they're very open-minded and they are very respecting the recommendations from the harbourfront. I think during the planning and design of all those 3 billion sports and enhancement projects in the harbourfront area, I think they will work together. I think Michelle can explain to you further about that. Even though this may not be the most favorable outcome from the HC's perspective. However, I think most important, we need to look from the public's perspective. This will expedite about the possibility for the public to enjoy these harbourfront areas. So I hope everyone can look at it from a more practical and positive will from this angle, so that we can work together and to make our waterfront available for the public to enjoy. Regarding about the role of HC, I think definitely HC will be a valuable partners to work together with government and the bureaus in implementing all this waterfront enhancement. I think that's very important. And we look forward to the continuous input and also the advices from the HC. Regarding about financial and other detailed arrangement, I think I may need to ask Thomas to give you are briefing about the various operation details about this new HC and also the Harbourfront office. Thomas.
Thomas, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. If I may perhaps supplement on the about some of the questions about the operation mode of operation under the Development Bureau's proposal. Now, first of all, I think when we a few members mentioned about the relationship between the Harbourfront Commission and the Harbourfront Office, and I would like to clarify that when we talk about the role of a project proponent, we are thinking of actually moving in the direction of actually making Harbourfront Commission having a bigger role and a bigger decision-making power, if I may say it, if I use the term, even though, of course, it is still not a legal person per se, so it can't really assume the contractual or legal liabilities. But and the ultimately the contractual and all the legal liabilities rest with the Development Bureau. But I think our thinking is by putting Harbourfront Commission as the project proponent, we are looking to the guidance and input of the Harbourfront Commission in terms of both the prioritization of projects and also the actual design, implementation, and even the ultimate management and modus operandi of the projects that we are going to do. Now, if I may also supplement, this of course doesn't prejudge the ultimate model for managing the individual sites. And I think we have already in the past examples of projects that is being implemented by the spearhead by the harbor unit, but ultimately managed by the LCSD. Of course, with the inputs and comments and all the useful suggestions by the Harbourfront Commission. And I think we are looking to take this to the next level by actually allowing Harbourfront Commission to have a bigger say in terms of how that is to be done and how the ultimate product will appear. So this is just by way of background. Now, obviously, a lot of the things, especially on the details about the implementation, it needs to be ironed out. And of course, there will be teething issues. We need to see how we can work closer together, how we can put HC in a much more upfront position. I would envisage, even for instance, we have talked about that in the past, and I think this is also an issue that has come up in the public engagement, which is will the Harbourfront Commission be involved in actually talking to the district councils so that it can present its holistic ideas to gain the support of the district councils on these individual projects as well. But I think, of course, these details we can talk about later as well. Now, as to the funding, I think the Secretary has also already mentioned up front that this is only an initial amount. Now, there's no particular magic to the 500 million figure, but I think we believe it would be a good starting initial sum of money that would at least enable us to proceed with a number of meaningful projects. And I think, of course, responding to members' comments, we would be open to ideas as to how we actually come up with the projects and how we prioritize. But I think it is also important that we want to present a program that would at least present it to the public that we are looking to actual deliverables, actual open space or other projects that people could actually enjoy. And I think, as the Secretary has mentioned, this is what we would like to see as a step moving towards the goal that we have set for ourselves when we go out for public engagement on the idea of Harbourfront Authority. I think we are in agreement with the Commission that we do see the need for a change to the current way of enhancing the harbourfront. And I think, you may, of course, see it half full or half empty, but I think at least we believe that by putting this 500 million as an initial sum and also putting the dedicated harbour office in support of the Harbourfront Commission in implementing these projects, we hope this would show to the public that we are moving towards that direction of having a bigger, a freer hand in the implementation of Harbourfront projects. Now, the final point about the staffing for the Harbour office, Harbour unit. Now, we have actually in the past year already been expanding the Harbour unit by bringing in necessary expertise like engineers. And I think as we go along and as we take forward the project and as we have the Commission's advice on the projects, the nature of the projects that we need to undertake, I think it is our plan to continue to beef up the staff complement of the Harbour unit to expand it into the Harbour office by bringing in different disciplines like engineers, architects, landscape architects, leisure managers who have experience in actual management. Our plan is we don't actually have a fixed plan at the moment. Much would depend on the long and short list of the projects that we plan to undertake, and it is our plan to support the work by bringing in the necessary staffing to actually deliver those projects. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. Christine?
Yes, can I supplement? I would like to revisit this CE document 1 with members. In it, it actually listed out the challenges that we are having in the existing Harbourfront development. And in it, it said that the development cycle takes time and resources, and then the existing arrangements may not be conducive to creative design, meaning that because the government has its own division of labour and is developing and managing Harbourfront sites, and also thirdly, is that there are constraints to achieve a vibrant waterfront with diversity. At that time, it was pointed out that because of the existing regulations, there is a uniform and equitable basis for management. However, these regulations may not be conducive to breeding greater diversity, attracting more people, and making them more vibrant and attractive. And exactly because of these existing constraints that are recognized by the Commission and the general community, in this, when we have the dedicated funding of 500 $100 million. Some members talked about why we did a study on the formulation of the model to plan and manage. And these are exactly to respond to the challenges that have been recognized, because we believe that when we talk about Harbourfront Commission as the project proponent, it means that for sites like, take for instance, Hong Kong Ferry Pier, for example, in the future, after becoming the project proponent, the Harbour Office could, of course, provide all the background details and information about the sites and their availability and the long-term planning and all the zoning and relevant information for HC for consideration. But then it would have to decide what kind of things you want to put on this particular site. Say, for instance, it wants more commercial activities to take place here. That actually extends beyond the existing pleasure grounds regulations, say, for instance. So we actually need a new model, a new management rules to govern how future sites under HC or under HO are to be managed on a day-to-day basis. Of course, the execution duties rest squarely with the Harbour Office. However, we will look upon the Commission for directions as to what is to be planned and how it is to be managed to achieve what the HC has always advocated, and that is a vibrant, diverse harbourfront. So we imagine that with increasing amount of funding to be injected into the dedicated funding, there will be different open space or different sort of promenades available for us all to plan ahead. And we would need to tap into all of your expertise and vision to realize a vibrant harbourfront. And exactly why we in parallel need a study is to guide our future operation accordingly. Of course, we have no strong views on exactly the scope or the study to be included, but I just want to explain that the rationale for having the study is really to help the future HC with its increased role in explaining to the public and also justifying all its actions. We also do not preclude the possibility of, say, for instance, the HC wants a certain harbourfront sites to be managed by a certain way, by a certain groups of new contractors. I mean, that is totally worth consideration as well. And some members asked about how the funding is calculated. If we actually look into the projects that are proposed now, the first two, I can say that they are definitely capital works projects, meaning that unlike the HFA proposal, these resources are to be, even if they are to be drawn from the dedicated funding, according to the usual public works projects, they would still need funding approval from LegCo is required. It's similar to all other public works projects. The fact that we have these from the dedicated funding can actually save the time from the internal resource competition. However, if these two eventually are capital works projects, then we would follow the established public works project route to do the financial discipline accordingly. But for the other two that are proposed, we believe that they could possibly be quick win projects. And that's why the sum may be less than the two that were proposed. As to Paul's question of the criteria, I mean, we can definitely, after this meeting, list out why we actually have the site availability and all the site information about these sites. And our starting point is really to look, to trawl through all harbourfront sites and see which are the most immediately available and see which, after enhancement, could create a more of an impact or more of a significant improvement to connecting the harbourfront and also to enhance the public enjoyment factor. So, but we are open to seeing other proposals and see how that could be featured in that sum as well. As for the manpower, I think Thomas has also mentioned the requirement of a multidisciplinary team, and that would likely be fall into the professions like quantity surveyor, building service engineer, and also architect and landscape architect, and leisure services manager. But this, I think, also hinges on the result or the conclusion that HC has, and also maybe from the study that we mentioned, because holistically or strategically, we would need to know where we are heading and what exact kind of management approach or operation approach we are going to adopt before deciding on the exact manpower of the Harbour Office accordingly. I just want to also mention that members talked about the relationship between HC and HO, and that's a very good question because it will be essential for the future operation. I would like to use an example of the Wan Chai UDS project, as I would say as well. Indeed, I think HC was an important project proponent already in the existing operation because you are actually a very strong partner with Plan D in doing the urban design study. So there are a lot of proposals here to be implemented. So we would assume that if HC in the future considers all the possible harbourfront projects, decides to take up some that it thinks it could have most guidance and inputs on, then they can actually work very closely with the Harbour Office to work on these particular projects. And as project proponent, we would really want HC to give the time and also the effort to explain to the community why they think that project is worth doing and also why the particular proposals would be a good response to the community aspirations. And I think the public would look upon the HC for these sort of comments and views before they decide to agree whether they would have consent to those implementation. But I think members could also be assured that in terms of works agent, we would still be employing the use of CDD and HSD in fulfilling whatever that is being envisioned by the HC. So I think we have to be clear that we would still have works agents even for HO and HC projects. But in terms of how they are going to build those projects, HC could have a bigger role in giving its views and comments on them. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Christine. Anybody want a second round of comment? Paul? Thank you.
Yeah, first of all, I tried to figure out the discrepancy between the proposal here and the Harbour Authority, where we were talking about sites 1 and 2 of the Central Harbourfront, sites 4 and the western part of site 7 on the Central Harbourfront, the Kwun Chung Promenade, stage 1 and 2. Site 6 of the Central Harbourfront, one side development phase 2, Quarry Bay Harbourfront site, including Hoyer Street, Boardwalk, and so on. I mean, we had a long list, and I don't see them reflected in the two lists that are being proposed here. So, again, I come to this point that I believe that what would be a more appropriate way forward, that the government steps back from its proposal of these sites that they've put forward, but work with us on a strategy and look at the entire waterfront, and then based on the after establishing the various parameters of each of the sites, that we then as an organization, as a Harbourfront Commission, come to a recommendation on which ones we believe to go forward and in what way. So I hope that's one thing that can be do. Two, the 500 million. I'm glad that Eric used the word, or I think it was Thomas Blue, used the word believe that this amount is good. There's a lot of belief these days. God has been referred to by regularly these days too. So we believe that it's okay. I'm glad that this number is just a belief and nothing beyond that, because as the Harbourfront Commission, what we hope, one, is that the amount of money that we expected to spend will be similar to what we would spend on it if it was both handled by LCSD and the Marine Department, so that what's hanging on top of the land is at least to the same standard as what LCSD would spend on it, and what is on the waterfront side is at least the same amount of money that the Port Works Division would spend on it. Because at the Harbourfront Commission, one of the things we always battle with is that we only do things on the land, but nothing on the water edge. And as a Harbourfront Commission, we want that to stop. So we want that all that amount, and that's expensive stuff. Again, I don't think that's reflected here in that belief number. And I hope, again, that we can really talk through with government what the responsibilities are going forward for each of the sites. It hasn't been answered of what ordinance we're going to work with or under. In the past, the LCSD has been appointed as manager for several sites that were fixed up by the CEDD, for example, the temporary dock park at in Wan Chai, the former temporary dockport on Wan Chai, and the LCSD was a manager, so the site was pretty much still handled under the pleasure ground ordinance, although the management was pretty much directed by us, because it wasn't designed by LCSD. They only took up the maintenance and management of the site. In terms of the relationship with the district council chairman, I definitely would hope that as we're going to go forward for each of these sites, we're going to work very closely with each district council. I hope we have about 9 district councils to deal with, but I hope we can realize this vision that for each section of the waterfront, we work with the local district councillors in making the plans that are appropriate for that section of the waterfront, and we work closely with those district councils. In terms of the 2 studies that are being proposed here, I totally agree with Christina. Those are the right studies that needs to be done. Some newer members may not be as sensitive to the needs of these studies, but these studies are extremely important to get done as soon as possible, and I hope that we can get on with them soonest. So, Chairman, I hope to get some more feedback from government on how we're going to go forward. Otherwise, I think we're all going to walk away with the sense that this is a haphazard, quick response to fill up a gap in the policy address, where the chief executive finds out that something hasn't been done that we had committed on, and the last minute quickly we try to stop the bleeding by putting a bandage here. But having the bandage here and having to stop the bleeding, I think I like to commit myself. I mean, we've worked on it since 2003, mm-hmm. when we started designing Hong Kong Harbour District. It is now 14 years later. I will not give up. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Please, Becky.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think at this meeting we do have some clarifications on the directions, so at least we know where we are going. But I just want to have some idea about what and when will be our first or immediate checkpoint or milestone if we're going on that direction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else? Christine, you want to react at all? Thomas, sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. Now, if I may, when we put forward these proposed projects, I think one of the consideration is, of course, the timing. Because the sites that we have put here are sites that we believe would be made available and could be worked on using the funding that has been dedicated for this course in a very short in the near future, so that we can demonstrate the results by this new approach that we are proposing. Now, of course, there are other projects which will probably take a longer time frame. I think Paul has mentioned quite a number of them, and these are still on our radar screen. And I think all the task force have the area studies and all the checklists that would allow us to keep track of these projects and also to continue to work on them, especially in terms of dedicating the resources to plan for their development as and when they would be made available. But in terms of timing, I think it would be important, we believe, to work on, or at least to focus on those sites which would become available in the near future, so that we can put the money to good use and put these sites to good use for public enjoyment. Now, as to the next steps, I think what we would propose is, now, of course, we understand the frustration and disappointments of members about not being able to go one step to the ultimate vision of having an authority. But I think in order to take a step forward, what we would like to suggest is we take it back to the task force themselves and also to see if the task force would have other views on the both the projects and also the prioritization, and then we can gather the views together and then put it back to perhaps this commission for a more holistic overview of how we are going to both prioritize and work on the program for these using these 500 million, and also of course to also look at what is going to be beyond this program. I think this is also important. This is also important to our work as well in planning ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right. Well, I think we've had a fairly good debate and discussion. I'm an optimist, as eternal optimist, as people know, and like Paul, I'm certainly not going to give up. To me, the glass is half full, and let's see if we can fill it further. Sorry? Okay. All right. There's some liquid in the glass anyway. But seriously, I think we've looked back. Let's look forward. We need to seize this opportunity as a commission. Two things I think we need to do. One, I agree with what Paul said and what Thomas has said. We need to identify, because obviously a lot of work's been done looking at different sites, but we need to ensure that these are the sites that we think have the best chance of being taken forward, taking point Thomas's point about time and also cost. I think that can be done at a task force level, so I'd ask each of the task force chairs to look at these sites in the context of your responsibility and to see if they are if you do regard them as the priority. If there are others, please suggest them, and then we'll come up with a holistic overview, if you like, and prioritise within that holistic overview as to which sites we think should go forward first and recommend accordingly. That's one exercise. I think we should get on with that as a matter of priority, and I think we can probably do that almost through circulation, or we can do it through discussion.
May I make a suggestion on that one? Rather than put the work to us, can we put the work to government to make a list of all the sites around the harbour and for each site indicate timeline and what they see as the step forward? So really do the entire waterfront, 73 kilometres, list all the sites and give their evaluation of each site, of where it is and where it's going and who's probably best to want to do it, and make the entire list of recommendations so we can see and then we can give comments on that. Rather than because I'm going to say Kennedy Town waterfront. Now, what are they going to say? So, and then I forget to mention one. I think we should just get an overview, full list, and then I don't think Christine should have it too difficult. Because
Thomas, Christine, how feasible?
I think for each task force, we do have an checklist for each one of them.
Yep.
So there is the full list of these projects.
All right, if you can. All right. So let's agree for the next meeting of each task force, government will produce a list of all the sites within that task force responsibility with time and, if possible, cost, but obviously time to deliver and time for in terms of availability. I think the other thing we need to address is and understand, I think, is roles and responsibilities and exactly what is going to be the relationship between I hate the word new commission, but the commission going forward and the government. I mean, there was talk about us having a major say in what happens. What does that mean? There's talk of us becoming the project proponent. What exactly does that mean? So I think there's some work to be done there in defining what is the new role, if you like, or the upgraded role of the commission. Certainly, I think we want to participate. Certainly, we'd like to contribute. The idea that we get involved with the district councils and help them and explain schemes to them, I think that makes for good sense. So I think an exercise, if you could, Christine, flesh out what you mean in terms of project proponent and their roles and responsibilities. And then finally, I mean, Eric did say it, and not giving up the idea of setting up an authority. And, you know, he did actually say that, and I like that minuted, please. Because, these things tend to slip away. My ultimate goal is to create something that can deliver. If this new model can deliver, then, I'll be happy and I feel job done. But if this new model still fails to deliver the comprehensive solution we're looking for, then we must continue to press for the agency or the authority. So thank you all very much. Work to be done. As you gather, we're all going to be required to roll up our sleeves even more
even more. I think, just to reassure you, I think we will need to set up working groups. We will need to co-op more members, I think, because at the moment the burden, I think, is falling on too few shoulders. So if you have friends or colleagues who you think would make for good harbour front proponents, please put them forward. Thank you very much. Thank you.